Welcome to the Significant Women Podcast with Carol McLeod. I'm your host, Carol, and I'm so delighted that it's December. And because I love Christmas, we're doing something different this year in the month of December. Every episode of the Significant Women Podcast will be dedicated to the celebration of Christmas. I know that Christmas could be so hard for some of you, and that's why I want to change your perspective. I want you to have a broader view of what Christmas was always meant to be in the heart of God's children. So again, thank you for joining me today. I do hope that you'll share this episode of the Significant Women Podcast with someone in your life who needs a little extra joy this Christmas season. What is it about the word home? One of my favorite lifetime authors, Laura Ingalls Wilder, has said home is the happiest word there is. And although I happen to agree with that little phrase, some of us don't. Some of us don't have the same kind of background that convinces us that home is the happiest word that there is. Well, now for me, I start playing Christmas music on October 1st, as some of you know. I call all of my children at about 6 or 7 in the morning, and I play for them the McLeod family theme song, which is I'll Be Home for Christmas. When they were babies, newborns in my arms, the first song I sang to them was Jesus Loves Me. And the second song was always I'll Be Home for Christmas, because I wanted them to get that in their subconscious, that at Christmas time, all hearts turn toward home. I would softly whisper it to their newborn ears as I rock them to sleep, because I believe there is no other place to be at Christmas time than at home. Now, your idea of home may not match my idea of home. My idea for home at Christmas conjures up visions of a blazing fire in the fireplace, lights burning brightly on a Christmas tree. I'm in the kitchen fixing a big pot of homemade soup while the family is enjoying a rousing game around the Christmas table. I can hear their laughter and their happy comments. The music is playing, the bills are paid, everybody is healthy, there are babies everywhere. That's my idea of being home for Christmas. Maybe your ideas of being home for Christmas stir up anxiety or fear or pain. If those are the emotions that you encounter whenever you think about Christmas at home, I just want to gently suggest to you that maybe you aren't really at home, because home was never meant to be a place of struggle and worry, of sadness and rejection. Home was always meant to be a place of unconditional love and safety, of joy and of peace. Home was meant to be a harbor in the storm, a place where peace wins over all wars, a place where joy overshadows all sadness. So, if that is the case, what in the world does it mean to be home for Christmas? Is home an address on a street? I think it's more than that. Is our longing for home a reality or simply a fairy tale? I'd like to submit to you today that one of the deepest, dearest messages of the Christmas story is that it leads us all toward home. Christmas may be about discovering what your true home actually is. I love this quote by Augustine. The Holy Scriptures are love letters from home. If that's true, does home even exist on planet Earth? Let's find out as we take a journey through some of the most familiar scriptures in the Bible, the Christmas story. Today, we'll go digging for gold into the scriptures that tell of the birth of Jesus Christ, and we'll figure out where home is, if it exists, and how we get there. Today's episode is almost like a GPS to home, and we're going to make it there by Christmas Day. Mary had grown up in the same village as Joseph, a carpenter's son. Joseph was likely several years older than Mary was. Maybe they had admired one another from a distance. Perhaps Joseph had just been waiting for Mary to grow up. And now that Mary was probably 13 or 14 years old, it was settled. Mary was to become the wife of Joseph. So Mary was inside one afternoon, the Bible tells us. Maybe she was in her home, maybe working on her wedding attire or sewing towels for her new home, when she sensed someone in the room with her. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. And coming in, Gabriel said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Gabriel called Mary favored. What does that mean? Mary was about to learn that being highly favored by God does not mean a life of unbroken happiness, nor does it promise that all of your dreams will come true. Favor simply means that God wants to use you. Luke chapter 1, verse 29. But Mary was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. So Mary was perplexed. She was agitated. She was concerned. Mary was greatly troubled. Who was this man, and what in the world was he talking about? Now, I can tell you that this word perplexed that described Mary in Luke 1:29 is the only time this word is used in the New Testament. Mary perceived that trouble was on the horizon of her life, and even though the angel called her favored, Mary was troubled. You know, I can nearly hear Mary's racing heartbeat as she attempted to process all that was happening around her this otherwise ordinary day. I wonder if Mary's cheeks were flushed and her heart was beating rapidly. Let's continue on in the story and read verses 30 through 33 in Luke chapter 1. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Again, the angel assures Mary of God's favor on her life. So sweet Mary, she's trying to wrap her heart and her mind around the message of the angel, and she may have been incredulous at what he has told her. Me? God chose me? I'm the chosen one to carry God's child? I'm to be the mother of the Messiah? You know, Christmas for Mary was about understanding that God's ways are always higher than our ways. God's ways are infinitely higher than our ordinary ways. Christmas is a reminder to me, to you, to all of us, and to Mary, that his ways are higher and better than anything we could ever think of or imagine. Christmas is also about discovering our true home, a place of God's favor, where the presence of Jesus is sure and certain. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God." My friend, if you long for the comfort of home, for safety, and for peace, if all you've really ever wanted in life was the favor of God, to be used of God, perhaps an appropriate prayer this Christmas season might be, "Holy Spirit, overshadow me. Overshadow my dreams and my preferences and my opinions. Overshadow my circumstances, Holy Spirit. Birth something new and something grand in me. Create something in me, Holy Spirit, that will change this generation for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Are you brave enough to pray that prayer? That's an awesome prayer, isn't it? I hope that this year at Christmas, you will be bold enough, brave enough to pray for the Holy Spirit to overshadow your life. And then the conversation between the angel Gabriel and the mother of the Messiah begins to come to a close. Luke 1:37. The angel says to this teenage mother, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Christmas for Mary was learning the ultimate truth of this one statement. My friend, you honor God when you ask of Him the impossible, because impossibilities are God's specialties. Impossible is what our God does best. He loves to show Himself miraculous in the face of profound disappointment and even darkness. Mary, the very young and chosen mother of Jesus, then utters one of the most courageous statements in all of Scripture, Luke 1:38, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be to me according to your word." Now, let me tell you what a bondslave was. A bondslave was someone who could have gone free, but instead chose to stay and serve his or her master. Mary willingly chose to offer temporary housing to the Savior of the world because that was God's desire for her life. When Mary's world collided with God's ultimate desire, Mary died to self and submitted to God the Father. Mary's pure heart and true resolve are revealed through the final words of her statement, "May it be done to me according to your word." Is that the resolve of your heart as well? When your human will comes into conflict with the will of God, God's word must win at all costs. Like Mary, we need to settle this issue of human will and the authority of God's will today. The authority of God's word in your life. Because I declare with Mary that in my life, it will always be done according to his word, because I'm his bondslave. The first marker toward home is giving yourself fully to the plans and purposes of the Lord. You will never be at home until you make your heart his home. If you don't, you'll always be lost. You will always be wandering, because our home is found in his will, which is his word. If you wonder what God's will for your life is, open the Bible and read it. Because God's will is found in his word. So what have we learned today? We have learned that nothing is impossible with God. We have found that when God interrupts our plans, his will must win at all costs. And we have found that we must be willing to be his bondslave. We must lay our preferences and opinions down for what he has for us. And we've also learned that being favored by God means that he wants to use us. You know, I don't know what you're going through this Christmas season, but I can tell you that at Christmas, there's no place like home. And his home is found in his will and in his word. So today, this Christmas season, my prayer for your life is that you'll read the Christmas story over and over and over again. It's found in Luke chapters 1 and chapter 2. I pray that you'll absorb God's will for your life and discover that at Christmas time, there's no place like home, because there's no place like Jesus. There's no place like the heart of the Father. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you so much. Jesus, thank you for Christmas. Thank you for the invitation to come home at Christmas. Jesus, we want to tell you that yes, we will come home for Christmas. Amen. Well, I hope that today's Christmas podcast has just been a taste of what we have for you this Christmas. Each week, we'll be studying a different component of the Christmas story in the Bible. And I just want to tell you that it's not too late to order your copy of Let There Be Joy for Christmas. Let There Be Joy is my Christmas devotional that I wrote for people just like you and me who love Christmas, but we want to know the true meaning of the season. So you can go to my website, order your copy of Let There Be Joy, or order it on Amazon. As always, I love hearing from you, so don't forget to email me, carol@carolmcleodministries.com. I'd love to pray for you this Christmas season. And I'll see you next week right here on the Significant Women Podcast with Carol McLeod.